Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I am your host today, Mary Margaret West, alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo.
And we are without our fearless leader today, Ben Trueblood. He's on vacay with the fam.
Enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So we're sitting in the podcast studio today.
Don't get eaten by any kind of wildlife or anything while you're out there.
Good luck. Goodbye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. Like, that's what you want to say. Anyway, today's episode, I think, is going to be one that, like, will probably hit everybody somewhere, like, wherever you are. I think we've all experienced the kind of thing that we're going to be talking about today, and that is just kind of the thankless side of ministry, just of the fact that a lot of what we do goes unseen. And a lot of what happens never gets talked about, written up in a bulletin, or, like, you know, with an article written about it with your photo attached. Like, it just doesn't. You know, and I think that's one of the hard sides of ministry, but also one of the ways that the Lord keeps us in check in a lot of ways, too, is just to go, this is not about you, but, you know, how can we take a job, a role, a calling that often on the outside looks very thankless, but has a ton of great reward to it, and really honor the Lord in everything that we do through our the ministry that He's called us to.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be where we're headed today. So, John Paul, why don't you kick us off with thing number one?
Well, number one, as we kind of thought through what does this look like to discuss this, is just the reminder that ministry is service to God and to others. It's a calling that we have to lead from a model of servanthood. Mm-hmm. And that's to take a page right out of the Jesus leadership handbook.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's a place that can leave you weary sometimes, because our flesh rails against that.
Yeah.
We don't want to just serve and serve and serve and serve. We want a give back,
mm-hmm.
right? To kind of fill up our tank sometimes. And so sometimes that servant leadership just gets difficult, and it's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's okay that it gets difficult, and it's okay that we want somebody to say, hey, you did a good job. But I think what we're encouraging you not to do through this podcast is to live for the thank you.
Yeah.
But to live for the calling, and allow the Lord to give that reassurance and that reaffirming, mm-hmm. that you're doing exactly what He's called you to.
Yeah. And just that He is the only one who can do, like, can remind us on a regular basis of that, and that is that steady for us whenever we do forget. And even John Paul, when we were chatting about this beforehand, it's like the advice that so many people give young married couples is to look and say, your spouse is not going to fulfill you. Like, you know, they're going to disappoint you. They're going to let you down at some point. And so don't look to them to be that person who can answer all the questions and make you feel good all the time or whatever that may be. But to just trust that that's the Lord's job. And He is the one who can completely do that in a way that nobody else can. And so on those days when ministry is hard, and even we were in chapel last week, and our new president here at Lifeway, Ben Mandrell, was looking at everybody who works here all gathered together in one spot. And he just said, you know, guys, ministry is hard. And I think sometimes we want to think because we're doing the Lord's work that, like, it shouldn't be that hard, or that, like, when it gets hard, something must be wrong. But I think if we look back to Scripture, we see that, like, ministry is hard. And, like, you look at the New Testament and you see Paul and what he walked through, ministry's hard. And, like, you look at Philip and any of these other apostles, these men who followed Jesus in different situations and walked through difficulty, like, that ministry is hard. And you even look at the Old Testament and, like, you just look at some of the junk that people had to endure over time and waiting on the Lord. And it just reminds us that, like, it is hard and it's thankless. And a lot of times, like, probably people in their day never knew of their service like we do, because we have it written out in Scripture, but a lot of what they had to do was very thankless. Yeah. But that it was really crucial in the long run. If God's called you to it, He'll be faithful to fulfill it and to walk us through it.
But it really is something, like, I don't want to be, my flesh doesn't want to be in a situation that is difficult and stressful.
Mm-mm.
And oppressive feels like too strong of a word, but I'm thinking back to some times where ministry has been hard, and it very much did feel oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
Whether some of that was self-imposed oppression and pressure that I put on myself, but it's one of those things, like, I think all of us would say, man, it's just not fun to be in that place. On the other hand, our new president's encouragement to all of us was that we are called to do hard things for the Lord. We're called to step into that gap where the rest of the world isn't willing to step in and confront culture and have hard conversations and preach a gospel that is by nature offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's an interesting dynamic for Christian leaders to step in, where leaders in other industries would say, man, my whole job is about making your life really, really easy and fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting dynamic for Christian leaders, because we, on one hand, don't want to find ourselves in the middle of really hard ministry, or even, you know, depending on where we're doing ministry, maybe even some level of persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, we know that we've been called to do these hard things. And so there's this question that I ask myself sometimes, like, is my ministry hard enough?
Yeah.
And by way of analysis, like, am I doing enough, or am I just kind of really staying where it's comfortable and fun and easy?
That's a tough question to ask. But I think we'd all be wise to ask that question at some point, of just like, what in this season does ministry look like? And I think that there are some seasons where, like, we kind of get a breather and things just are good. But that on the whole, we shouldn't, that's not the expectation. And is because we just need to be armed and ready. And that's why, like, Ephesians tells us to put on the armor of God every day, and that we're supposed to be ready for whatever may come. You know, we're supposed to have, you know, be prepared with the answers so that we can stand up against the things that this world throws at us. And that's a huge expectation that not only we have for ourselves, that the Lord has for us, but that other people try to put on us at the same time too. And, you know, because none of this is about us at the end of the day. And ministry is not about us, anybody knowing who we are, but it's about us making God known. And
I love that you mentioned the not relying on other people for your happiness, not relying on the people around you, just like the premarital counseling, you know, your spouse is not responsible for your happiness. Dave McNeil, when we used to do our podcast in the Dave McNeil Memorial Podcast Studio, although Dave McNeil does live.
He does. I see it. We run, well, he runs, I walk in the same place. I run into Dave.
Nice.
I know.
He used to say it in a different way. He would always say, don't feed off of the sheep.
Yeah.
You've been called as a minister to feed the sheep, but all too often we feed off of the sheep because we do things looking for them to say, Mary Margaret, you did such a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I'm never going to forget the number of women that I have seen come up to you after you've spoken at a conference or something and come back to the Lifeway booth. And they'll come up and you introduce yourself as you do in a booth. Everybody that walks up, hey, my name is, and you start conversation. You know, it's standard.
Mm-hmm.
When Mary Margaret introduces herself, there are so many women that nearly melt.
Oh, my gosh.
They're like, I know.
This is awkward. Oh, gosh.
But it would be easy.
Yeah.
In having a reputation where people know you and see you around and want to hear from you and want to learn from you, for you to let your heart get in a place where you need that recognition. Like, you're doing it at some point for, you're not, to be clear, she's not, but you could get into a place where you're doing it for the renown, for the recognition, and it's the affirmation that you get from the people around you that makes you do ministry tomorrow, not the call that God's placed on your life.
Ooh, and there is a distinct difference between those two things. And there are moments when, like, I have knowingly fed off of the sheep. And like,
well,
and
for
I can,
sure.
Yeah,
me too.
And that, like, I can, and I think where I am now, like, and I am the type too, especially when I teach, I feel like I'm pretty, like, honest about myself and my faults and stuff like that. And that is one that I know there have been moments when, like, I'm like, this is me. This is too much about me and what it is that somebody has said, or like the, you know, I'm looking for the laugh with that joke or whatever it is, rather than putting my focus back in the right spot. But like when I have my focus, my eyes fixed on Jesus and like my heart in the right place, that's when the Holy Spirit can do what only He can do in those moments. And that, like, I'm very aware that it's not me.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for those things. And I'm grateful too that, like, there are still moments that keep me in check, and I've got friends that keep me in check, but just that, that, like, I never want to assume, you know, something like that, like that somebody knows. Even like, sometimes, like, standing at those booths, I'm like, oh, they were in my class. But I'm like, oh, hey, I'm Mary Margaret. And they're like, I know who you are. I'm like, it's like, I just sat and listened to you teach for 45 minutes. But, like, I think, too, part of it for me is just wanting to go, like, hey, I'm the same person as you are. Like, this is the thing that God has called me to do, and so I'm going to try to be obedient to do that.
I just have a different job than you do.
Yeah. And it's just and people will ask all the time, like, how did you get in this job? And I'm like, you know what? The Lord called me to this, and that's all I didn't aspire to this. I didn't look for this. I didn't ask God for this job even. Like, but I just said, what do you want? You know, like, Lord, you just show me what you want me to do next. And I think that for every single one of us, there are moments in our lives when we just go, God, like, but this isn't what I thought it was going to look like. And we really have to, like, wrestle down and just go, but, like, but my hands are open, my heart is willing, and I'll do whatever it is that you ask me to do. And I think in student ministry culture, one of those pieces that's super hard, like, to wrestle down is sometimes that God may be calling you to go to a smaller church than where you are now. And, like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with, like, with making that shift. I think for a lot of us, it's like we look at it as, like, our personal value is attached to how many students are in our ministry. And, like, and that's, those two things are in no way attached to one another. And in this thankless job that a lot of us are in to some degree, like, we would just be wise to go, Lord, where do you want to use me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how, like, what is the next thing? And, like, and just go, that's one less bus I've got to call, you know, call to take the kids that can't, I mean, all jokes aside, like, but to just go, okay, God, if this is what you want me to do, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, and having the understanding that that really is the pattern of the way God calls His people.
Mm-hmm.
How many times does the Lord call people from much to little?
Oh yeah,
to be faithful in a very specific segment of His story,
mm-hmm.
so that He can accomplish something so much bigger that's going to come out of that story. Yeah, mm-hmm. It has so little to do with the environment that we find ourselves in as far as, but I think, I mean, that's exactly what you're saying. You can't get to the place where you're fulfilled by the size of the ministry.
Yeah. Cause if that is what you, that is where you find your value, then, like, you've missed something.
Yeah.
We've all missed something. If that's where we're looking for our value, is the size of our ministry, the number of people, volunteers, baptisms, salvations, whatever it may, whatever number it is you're using to quantify, those things, if that's where our value comes from, we've missed a crucial piece. And so, you know, not relying on other people for our happiness is a big part, I think, of us truly being secure in Christ. Just like we tell our students all the time that we don't want them to be looking around at everybody else. We've got to do the same thing for ourselves as adults. And another thing we want to talk about is just this idea of, like, don't bail after the honeymoon period.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
She just hit a nerve.
You know, like, there is that. I mean, I am literally, like, I'm a year and a half into marriage now. So, like, talking from, like, literal, like, don't bail after the honeymoon. Like, I'm not about to bail on anything. but I have found in the last couple of months, it's like Jonathan gets on my nerves more than he did last year. Like, not really. And it's just stupid things. But it's almost like, I realized recently, I'm like, the honeymoon period's over. Like, we're just in regular life now.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure I drive him crazy. And so there comes a time in ministry when, like, the honeymoon period ends and real life kicks in. And it's, what do we do when real life kicks in?
I think it's pretty familiar language for church leaders to think about the first few months in your church.
Yeah.
And some of it depends. I mean, for some of y'all, the honeymoon's like 2 months and it got real at your church. And for some of you, you know, you were able to coast right through your first year. And we would always joke with new people that came on at the church that I served before coming here. It's like, okay, this first year, you can ask for just about anything you want.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but after that, there's going to be this expectation. Okay, we've poured resources into you and your ministry, and we've given you a whole lot. And so from here out, you need to start proving that leadership capital.
Right.
And it was this investment well placed?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? I mean, what does it take? What kind of awareness does it take to make sure that you're not making this misstep to say, oh man, everything, the dynamics have all changed.
Yeah. And it's that point where it gets hard where, like, you have established some pieces in your ministry. You've established, like, a mission, a vision. Like, but it's like, and as we were kind of, like, dialoguing about this before we started, Nathan, producer Nathan, piped up and said this. It's like, but if you don't have a strategy, that's when the wheels are going to, like, fall off the bus.
Yeah.
And that's when the rubber meets the road. And it's like, for some people, I think it's really easy to look around and go, oh, I think I'm done here. Like, it's gotten hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a year and a half in or whatever it may be. And I guess it's time. Like, I don't know what to do from here. So I guess I'll just move on. And are there seasons where the Lord leaves us in a place for a much shorter period than we thought he would? Yes. I've experienced it myself, like, where I'm like, Lord, I just thought you'd have me here longer, when the Lord just closed a door, opened a new one, moved me elsewhere. But two, we've got to be careful that we're not taking advantage of using the Lord that way to say, well, God, you must just be ready. Like, and honestly, like, if I'm perfectly honest, there have been seasons here at Lifeway over the last, I've been here 7 years, when, like, I looked at a mentor a few years ago and I just said, I just think that God is about to move me on. Like, 'cause it just got hard. And then a few months later I saw her again. I was like, well, I guess he didn't. Like, I mean, I'm still here. But some of us want to cut and run when it gets hard because we sort of don't know what to do next. Well, like, if you don't know what to do next, that's going to happen again at your next church. Like, if you didn't have a strategy in place A, like, you get to place B and that strategy point comes, you still don't have it. Like, that's where we've just got to ask wise people around us and ask for some help and ask for some resources and just to say, you know what, I don't know what to do right now. Like, I don't know what my next step is because I've never hit this point in ministry before. What do I do? And let that be a teaching opportunity and not just one where we go, I don't know what to do, so peace out.
Yeah.
So
I think too, you know, some people will say all of the right things without an expectation that people will take them up on their offer. And
yeah.
So there's the, you know, you come in as a new leader. Listen, I'm an open book. You ask me any questions that you have. Well, right out of the gate, you probably get pretty tame, pretty broad questions, you know, and even people just not really knowing you, they're hesitant to come up. After about a year, you know, they've had several weeks, you know, with you if they're teaching, people coming every other week, you know, you've got about 20, 25 weeks with the majority of your leaders under your belt, and they start getting comfortable enough to probe into the finer details of your plan.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me what you're thinking about this or that. And then it gets real. Like, you've been telling them
I'm
an open book, and ask me and I'm
My
not going to get
open.
Offended and
yep.
all that. So when they start, now you have to operate by what you promised.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't mean that the whole church is against you when they question what you're doing. It means you have a group of invested leaders that are taking ownership of their role and wanting to know what the plan is.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing,
mm-hmm.
but it can feel intimidating when you get to that place.
You know, and for some of you listening today, you may have been at your church for the last 8, 10, 12 years, and like you're, like the Lord has called you somewhere, you've stayed for a long time, and sometimes the rub comes at a different place for you in this thankless sense of ministry. You're like, I've been plowing ahead in the same place for a long time, but also that the Lord builds depth of relationship and different pieces of your ministry come together in a different way when you've been there a long time. That doesn't mean that it's better. It just means that that's the calling that the Lord's placed on your life in this specific season. So even trying to, like, again, like, don't compare to what somebody else is doing, because that's when I think things get really messy, is when we look at what somebody else is doing and go, well, how do they do that? Or why am I not doing that? Or why, like, Lord, why did you move them on? And you've left me here in a hard place of ministry for a long time.
Yeah.
So it leaves a lot of like question marks, but I think the Lord's not afraid of those. Like he welcomes our questions, like when it gets tough.
Man, I remember at one point in my leadership at my last church, one of the men that I reported to said, "I want you to be more like X student pastor."
Yeah.
And they were a great model of a student pastor. We're in a much larger ministry context than we were. I mean, it was one of those, you know, but they have $100,000 camp scholarship budget. You know, like we don't have half that much just to pull off camp. You know, it's a sizable church, but it's an apples to oranges kind of thing. But I said, okay, because I'm a challenge guy, and so you give me a challenge, you want me to operate that way, great, let's go get it. So I remember being so frustrated over some of the things that they had license to do in their ministry and just chasing after those things. Why can't I do that? What are the roadblocks? Why, you know, they want me to be this way, but they're not letting me be that way. Only to find out later, all of these things that I thought he had so much freedom to do is actually after coming here to Lifeway, he started telling me stories about how bad he got beat up for doing all the things that I was trying to model.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, I took such a beating. Those were terrible decisions. Mm. And I'm over here thinking like, oh, it's cutting edge. And they see him doing it and they're letting him do it. And the whole time he was like, gosh, I made some of the worst mistakes. But it's the comparison game. Yeah. All I saw was the social feed of how successful and how edgy and current the ministry looked and how much mine didn't compare to that.
Yeah.
But the truth of that situation is that he was going through a really, really hard leadership season himself and was struggling in his own way.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's the same kind of thing. You know, everybody's Instagram feed is all the highlights and it's not a true comparison.
Yeah. And that's where, too, it's, you know, and whenever, if you've experienced that moment when, like, some of your students who maybe come to your church every Wednesday night, they're loyal, they show up, like, that you hear, like, oh, well, they're going to the church across town because they're doing X, Y, or Z, or because they've got something flashy going on over there, whatever it may be. Or it's just maybe that's where their friends are, or maybe their parents are visiting or whatever, like, that you just want to go, but what are they doing over there that we're not doing over here? That, like, rather than saying, like, there, I remember some parents who just came and said, you know, right now our, like, we've been at your church, for this church where we are, for a long time, but, like, for whatever reason, our student is having a tough time plugging in here. And there, I think there is something in us that wants to go, well, like, how can we fix it? What else can we do? Which, like, I think that those are valuable questions to ask. But there comes a point, too, where, like, I had to look at a set of parents and just go, you know what? If y'all need to be somewhere else because that's the best place for your student, then go do that. And, like, that's a hard thing to say because you're like, but they're a part of us. And, like, but, like, when you're looking at a parent who's going, like, something about this isn't working for my kid, then, like, you've got to just respect those parents enough to go, okay, like, I hear you, and I want y'all to be somewhere where your student can grow, where y'all can grow as a family and all of that, too. And so just to not look at it as a competition, but of going, okay, like, what is best for these people? God, where do you want them? And how can I still look at everybody else that's still here and say, let's lean in, let's make a difference this way? And one, you know, group of leaders that I am thinking of in my mind, too, I think on this side of, like, comparison and, like, feeling a little bit like second rate, or, like, you really get the thankless job, is, like, those of you who are, like, associates, you're the junior high pastor, you are the ministry assistant, the girls minister, you know, you're not
the part-time pastor.
Yes, the one who maybe your name is not the
full-time
one.
Student pastor.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I think every single one of those roles, including student pastor, like, you know, even if you are the person that's leading out in student ministry primarily, there are moments when, like, you're going to have done something, you're going to have pulled off a killer event, and, like, and your pastor gets all the credit. Or, like, somebody else in the scenario takes the bow, and you're going, they couldn't have done this if I wouldn't have done all the things that I did. And, like, that you just have to go, okay, you know what? Like, God, you've called me here to this role for this time and this season, and I'm going to trust you in that. And just to let the Lord be the one who gives us that reward and who reminds us that he is faithful, that he is good, and that, like, he who called us is faithful. And so like, he has not called us to this place to just drop us off and leave us. But that sometimes our best role is as a support role to somebody else. And, yeah. And sometimes too, like that for you as a, you know, if you are the student pastor, your best role is to support your senior pastor, even if he gets all the credit for how great camp went or some event that y'all did. He showed up for 5 minutes, but that's what mattered to a group of people. Then let him have it. Like, don't try to yank it back and don't try to make it about you. Cause that, like, those are some like ugly pain points if you ever want to see one, but just letting, there's nothing wrong with being the best number two person in the world.
Yeah.
So if you can champion that direction, it'll change the way you do ministry.
I just had this flash of a memory to the movie Drumline.
Did you ever watch that movie? No.
Oh man. It comes on like AMC, and so I'll catch it on there because I like this one scene. If I'm ever close to it, I'll watch it till I see it.
Mm-hmm.
This one dude that's like the all-star drummer, but he's a freshman in the drum line, wants to be out front. And there's this huge conflict where his drum instructor comes in front of him and challenges him because he's challenging the senior leader guy. Anyway, it's this huge drum off. And the guy totally fails and like drops his sticks and he's humiliated in this moment. And it's this freshman really trying to prove his place.
Yeah.
But the drum instructor just gets in his face and he says, before you can learn to lead, you have to learn to follow.
Yeah.
And I've always loved that moment.
Yeah.
Because it speaks so much to my own heart that I have a desire to be out front and to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been so many times I've stepped all over myself because I haven't been willing to follow in the places that God's called me to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's just one of those places that where we have to acknowledge our joy and our confidence has to come from the call that God has placed on our life and not on the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Circumstances change.
Yeah.
But that call that God has given us is one that's not going to go away. It's not going to fold up. It's not going to be affected by emotion or circumstance. It comes from an almighty sovereign God who has a plan and will see it to the end.
Yeah, to completion. Yeah. And that calling is one that is unique to you. Wherever it is that you find yourself, that nobody else is gifted quite like you are, and that nobody, I feel like this is like some Mr. Rogers moment, like here, I just watched the trailer for that movie and almost cried the other day, but like, just like, but I think it's so true just to say, like, there is nobody that's wired like you are.
Yeah.
Nobody that has the same like exact personality and gifts and calling as you do to the thing and the people group and all of that God has called you to. And so if you can find your joy in the fact that God has, there's only one of you and that God wants to use you and that whatever that looks like you're willing, then like that is where true joy and satisfaction and a heart of gratitude and thankfulness comes in an overflowing kind of way that we can't fabricate in any other way because it comes from the Lord. And that's where I think we begin to know ourselves better and our hearts better, our motives better in a way that we can go, hold on, like I've got these things backwards. I need to fix some things. And so just know today, that what you do matters. And I'll never forget one of the student ministry professors I worked with in seminary wrote me a note, like sent me a book one time and gave it to me when he was here at Lifeway for something. And he just said, I think you'll like this book. And he stuck a note in there just of encouragement and just say, you're doing a great job. And then at the very end, he just said, Mary Margaret, what you do matters. And I try to look at leaders and say that all the time, but just wherever you are today, what you are doing for the name of Jesus Christ matters, and it matters deeply to the kingdom of God and to these students, to these families, and to the call, like to honoring the call that God has uniquely placed on you. And so I will hop off my soapbox now, but like the more that we can embrace that and lean into that and just to recognize that like no matter the size of our church, the size of our staff, our like whether our part-time, full-time status, any of that, that God, God sees you, he knows you, and like, and what you do truly matters. This has been another episode of the Student Ministry Podcast. Thank you for listening.